Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 119, 24. Isaiah 25, 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will give thanks to Thy name, for Thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25, 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will give thanks to Thy name, for Thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25, 1. John 3, 36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3, 36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3, 36. Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please? It's Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. Father, we are so thankful that we're members of the royal family. We are saved by your grace, blessed and kept by your grace. We thank you for the opportunity to study this magnificent book. We have before us today, again, this book, God's book, the completed canon of Scripture. And we're here today to open our hearts and minds to these truths. We pray that we'll be able to receive and then utilize the things we learn. And we thank you again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. The insert that you have in your bulletin today gives Romans 5:12 and Romans 5:19. I trust that you'll take that verse and hold it in hand so that you'll be able to see it and analyze it with us in just a few moments. We're going to begin reading with Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sin. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over those who had not sinned, in the likeness of Adam's offense, who is a type of him who was to come. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 5. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of one the many died, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to the many. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions, resulting in justification. Verse 17, for if by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. I don't know whether you've noticed this or not, but I'm emphasizing the word, one. I just want you to see that. Verse 18, so then, as through one transgression, there resulted condemnation to all men. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of all, of life to all men. Now our verse for today, for as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. I want you to realize how fantastic this verse is. The question that I have for you is how we got to where we are. How we got to where we are. We were sinners before salvation. We're sinners after salvation. Only after salvation we're sinners saved by grace. How we got to where we are is described for us in the verses which I've read. Romans 5, 12 through 19. The reason I read those verses, I wanted you to be able to see how powerful each particular verse is. How we got to where we are. Constituted sinners. What are we now that we're saved? Constituted righteous. Wow. I have the ability to make mistakes, as all of us. And as I was typing this verse out for us to study, I made a mistake in a word that you can see perhaps from where you're sitting that I had to correct it, and I was going to go back and retype it and decided, no, I don't need to do that. I need to let you see where I made the mistake. And the reason for that is because I want you to see how powerful it is. We have in the first words, the second word that you see there is G-A-R, gar, which is known as a post-positive conjunctive particle, gar, which simply means that it's to be read first, even though it's not first in the Greek text. For, as, dia, through. Dia is one of the 13 or more prepositions, and dia is, if you've seen that diagram of the prepositions, it's the line that goes all the way through the circle. Dia. Through. You remember that? For as through the disobedience. And then what dawned on me was that I put an eta in here that doesn't belong there. Now it's important for me to let you see what I see. What I've seen so that I can now tell you what I was able to see. It's good to see something. It's good to be able to tell what you've seen. Now, the little Greek word akouo, A-K-O-U-O, is the word which means I hear. I hear. Akouo. If you'll look at this word, you'll see that it's P-A-R-A at the beginning of the word, which is a prefix, para, preposition. And the word goes on to say, for through the disobedience. Now, if you look at the word, you'll see hear, and you'll see a word which means to refuse to hear. So when I analyze this, I wrote myself a little note. Refusal to hear, which means refusal to listen properly. Now, there's a reason for me spending time here. For as through the disobedience of the one man, sinners were constituted. Many sinners became constituted. Everyone becomes constituted a sinner. Now, what caused all this? It was disobedience. It was not particularly a fruit. It was an emphasis upon disobedience to God's word. By one man, Adam 1, who was not willing to listen properly. I would like for you to write out by the side of the word that I misprinted here through the disobedience of the one man. If you're looking at that first line, you're seeing gar, dia, you're seeing the article they, you're seeing disobedience, you're seeing the article two, you're seeing the word for one, and then you're seeing the word anthropou, which is the anthropos, a man. For through the disobedience, the person not willing to listen properly, sinners were constituted, many constituted sinners. All right, now let's look at the word constituted sinners. It is the Greek word, you can see it, K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I. Okay, let's look at that word for a moment. Histomy, which is has a little H up there, but I pronounce it histomy, H-I-S-T, histomy. And then you'll notice the first part of the word is K-A-T-H, which is K-A-T-H-A, kata. So it is the word which means histomy, to stand, kata, down. Okay, stay with me now and take a look at this. It's beautiful. It lets us see what took place in the first Adam's disobedience. He was not willing to listen properly. So, as a result of that, he was among everyone who became constituted down. Constituted down. Now, did you see kat, K-A-T-H-I-S-T-E-M-I? Do you see that? Kat istemi? Which means, okay, I don't know whether you're seeing this. Are you looking at it in your bulletin? You see it? Please. Look at the word. It is the word that is translated constituted, many constituted, and then we have the word for sinners. Notice, if you will, please, that the word says that as a result of the disobedience of Adam 1, all ones, everyone from that point on, were constituted kata istemi, histemi, kata, stand down. They were standing down. They were placed down. And they became, passive voice, the recipients of becoming a sinner. The passive voice says the subject receives the action of the verb. Aorist tense, point of time. Notice the indicative mood. It's a mood of reality. All right, let's go on and look at it. For as through the disobedience of one man, sinners were constituted, who? The many. But stay with me now. So also, through the akouo, hearing, hupo, under, hupo akouo means to hear under, or to hear willingly and deliberately, willing to accept what is being presented. Hupakouo means to hear under, to listen attentively and accept what is being presented. All right? So, through the disobedience of one, first Adam, sinners were constituted, passive voice, many. So also through one man, Adam 2, through the obedience of one man, many will be constituted righteous. Notice, if you will, again, this Greek word, kat istemi, will be constituted, future tense, passive voice, indicative mood. Would you just let me, for a few moments, let you see something? When I take a Greek word, I look at that word to see the prefix, the suffix, and various aspects inside of that particular word. When I looked at this word, I saw a little sigma there, which tells me that it's a future tense. Immediately I know that that word says that this is a future tense. But I also see a TH, eta, and that emphasizes something that's in the passive voice. Now, you don't want to know all that much about Greek, but I want you to see, when you look at a word, how powerful that word is. This is saying, Adam 1 disobeyed. And as a result of this, many, all future individuals will be depraved, will be sinners. They're constituted sinners. While in Jesus Christ, we're constituted righteous. See the difference? You and I, before we were saved, were sinners lost, depraved, on our way to eternal destruction. We accepted Jesus Christ, deity 2. And Adam 2, Jesus Christ gave himself for us, died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, ascended to the Father's right hand. And when we accepted him, he accepted us, and we were born into his kingdom. And we find in that word, the theta, eta, we're the recipients of his righteousness. So you have here in this word, passive voice, future tense, indicative mood, which is the mood of reality. You put it down, God will do exactly what he said he would do. He doesn't lie to us. When you and I accepted him, he accepted us, and we became a member of his family. And we became a recipient of his righteousness. All right. What can I do now? Let you go home? No, can't do that. Look at this verse 19 for just a few moments longer. This verse presents to us the fact that you and I are constituted righteous. No righteousness of our own, but when we accepted Christ, he saved us by his grace. Before we were saved, we were constituted sinners, unrighteous, unholy, depraved. Do we have that down? I think we do. Adam 1, Adam 2. Adam 1, initial sin, caused him to fall, become depraved, degenerate, and his posterity is like his fallen self. Everyone born after that came on the scene, physically alive, spiritually dead. That's the way you were born. That's the way I was born. We were born physically alive, but spiritually dead. When we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, he moved us from dichotomy, body and soul, to body, soul, and spirit. All right? Number two. Every child of Adam is born with the Adamic nature. And through this nature was judged by Christ on the cross. That's found in Romans chapter 6, verse 10. It remains a vital, active force in every believer's life. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ, he was the powerful one that brought us from unsaved to saved. And we are the recipients of eternal life. Number three, it is never said to be removed or eradicated in this life, but there is for the believer overcoming power provided, which simply means that we still have that sinful nature, even though we're born again. Number four, both imputed sin and the sin nature are the direct result of Adam's one initial sin. I'm trying to go slowly so that you can see that I'm spelling it out in such a fashion that we can understand both imputed sin and the sin nature are the direct result of Adam's one initial sin. We're talking about Adam 1, over here Adam 2. Number 5, there is the immediate cause of death and as an imparted sin nature by inheritance. I read for you today Romans 5, 12 and following. I try to emphasize that throughout this passage of Scripture, there was an emphasis upon the word one. One, one, one. Sin imputed. How we got to where we are. The word imputation is a unique word. It means to reckon to or attribute something to a person. Impartation, imputation, means the impartation of something to something. Which simply says that there is something here. There's something here to be the recipient of the something that is to go from here to here. Are you following what I just said? Though that sounds like I'm talking in circles. We have imputation, which simply means that there's something here to be placed down here. Imputation means the impartation of something here to something here. Here is God, here, and down here is you. And you and I are equipped in such a fashion that we can be the recipient of what He has to put into us. Okay. Imputation means to reckon to or to attribute something to a person. When you go to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, the word is used 11 times. So we have to understand that the Bible emphasizes major imputations or major impartations that come from God to individuals, to us. There are major imputations set forth in the Bible. I've never done it this way before. I want you to see it because I'm going so slowly. Number one, subpoint. There's the imputation of Adam's sin to the race on which the original sin is based. Something from here to here. Imputation of Adam's sin to the race on which the original sin is based. Subpoint two, the imputation of the sin of man is also presented to Jesus Christ, on which salvation is based. You and I must realize that there's not a thing we can do to save ourselves. Joining the church, trying to be good, being baptized, all of these things, no matter what you do, in the energies of the flesh, you're not going to do anything to bring yourself up into the presence of God. Salvation doesn't come that way. Salvation is from God to us. Nothing to do with us other than we accept what He's provided for us. The imputation of Adam's sin to the race on which original sin is based. But there's also the imputation of sin to Jesus Christ, on which salvation is based. Now, number three, the imputation of God's righteousness to those who believe on Christ, justification is based. Imputations may be either real or actual or judicial. Let's look at this. Imputations may be either real, actual, or judicial. Now, if I don't do anything else in these last moments today, I want you to see. This is so unique. In imputations, you will usually find that there's something to be imputed, and there's a place for that to go. And that's called a real, actual imputation. Now, we're not going to get into now the imputation of Adam's original sin, the old sin nature, and all these things. We're looking only at one aspect of this. We're looking at what is known as judicial. Judicial emphasizes the fact that there's a judge, judgmentalism. Okay, here we go. Here's God, here's Jesus Christ, and here we are, sinful, depraved individuals. Imputation, sin to Jesus on our behalf. The Bible says he knew no sin. Jesus Christ, pure, perfect, impeccable, came to this earth, lived 33 years, went to the cross, died for our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. Now, isn't that something? This simply means that God had salvation through Jesus Christ for us, but Jesus Christ didn't have a place or a receptacle for sin to go. And so, if you're staying with me, this is saying that God had to judge, judicial, God had to judge Jesus Christ on our behalf to make salvation possible for us. Now, if you're hearing that carefully, you're seeing that Jesus Christ did not have a place or a receptacle for sin to go, and so he was judged on our behalf. That's a judicial imputation. Now, stay with me and look at this again. On the other hand, here we are. We're born physically alive and spiritually dead. There's no receptacle, no place for salvation to go. So there has to be a judicial imputation for us. In other words, just as Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us, he didn't become a sinner, he took our place. We have no place for salvation to be, so it demands a judicial, a judgmental imputation. That's the reason why you and I, born physically alive and spiritually dead, are body and soul, and not body, soul, and spirit. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God worked the miracle of salvation, regeneration, imputation. And that is the time when Jesus Christ came to set up his abode in our life and moved us from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. The natural man, the unsaved man, the Apostle Paul tells us in Corinthians, the natural man cannot comprehend things that are spiritual. And the reason they cannot comprehend, the unsaved cannot comprehend spiritual things, is because they're natural. There's psychikos. There's the word psychikos, soulish. They're body and soul, but not body, soul, and spirit. When you became a believer, God worked the miracle of transformation and moved you into a position where you would have that third part, the spirit, that gave you the ability to comprehend and understand and appreciate those things in the realm of the spiritual. You see it? That is a judicial imputation. Did you and I deserve that? No. Were we able to merit it? No. Could we join a church to get it? No. Could we be baptized to get it? No. Could we try to be good to get it? No. I want you to see what God did for you and me at the point of salvation. Imputation. God put into you and me his righteousness. That's the reason why in these verses we're constituted righteous. Constituted righteous. I can look at you and tell you that you're not righteous. You can look at me and tell we're not righteous. If there's any righteousness in you and me today, you know what it is? It's imputed righteousness. It's what God put inside of us. Oh, my. We all just have prayer and go home. Do you see that? All right. Judicial imputation is the reckoning to one of that which is not antecedently his own. That's just a theological way of saying everything I've just been saying. I put it in terminology that you and I can understand. There's not anything in you and me that merits salvation. We deserve to go to hell, and we deserve all of that. But we accepted the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And when we did that, His grace came into our lives. We were saved by grace. We were the recipient of imputed righteousness. We were constituted righteous. That's what this verse says. Look at it. You have it there in hand. Through the disobedience of one man, Adam 1, people became sinners. So also through the obedience to listen and obey properly. Through the obedience of one man, Adam 2, many can be constituted righteous. Could I take a moment again and let you see it? I've got to point this out. You've got to see it. Let me put it on the screen. You're looking at it, your insert. Through the obedience of one, Adam 2, many, doesn't say all will be, it says many, will be constituted righteous. Listen to it. Kat istemi, constituted righteous. Look at these letters in this word. There's the sigma. God is saying, from this point on in the future, every person who accepts Jesus Christ as Savior will be the recipient, next part there, suffix, theta, eta, passive voice, will be the recipient of righteousness. Now, you're going to go home happy today if you really think this through. You and I don't deserve it. We cannot merit it. We cannot go to heaven because of something we've done. We're going to go to heaven because we've accepted God's provision. And we've listened attentively and carefully about that plan, and we accepted God's plan. When we accept God's plan, God will do exactly what He said He would do. And He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just might be saved. No. You would be saved if you got good and real good and just stayed good until you got real good and died good. No, it didn't say that. If you'll just join the church, join all the churches you can. Because the more churches you join, that'll make you saved. No, that doesn't make you saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Can't beat that, folks. That is what is known as a gift from the one who was the recipient of a judicial imputation. He took our sin upon Himself. Not becoming a sinner, but He took our sin and paid the total price for our sins. We didn't have a place for righteousness to go, but when we believed and accepted Him, He set up that place, which was the third part, body, soul, and now spirit. And here He came inside, and you and I were born into His family. Whew, I tell you what, there's not anything better than this. May we pray together, please. Father, thank You for this magnificent truth of salvation through Jesus Christ. And in these closing moments of this service, we do not know who all is listening to this message. But wherever the individuals are, anywhere in this world, as a lost individual, hearing this voice and hearing these words, they're able to detect the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Because He said that, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by Me." It was Jesus who said that. So this means that no matter where the individual is, that person can accept you as his or her personal Savior and be born into your kingdom. Thank you for that wonderful message of salvation through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.
And bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord. Worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. He is our God. He is our God. We are the people of His pasture. He is our God. He is our God. We are the sheep of His hand. Come, let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let us worship and bow down and kneel before the Lord.